Yes, it's that time again, guys. It is Week in Review, and of course, I'm your host, Jim Glover, as well as John Hill. John's with me here this morning, as he is every week here. Morning, John. How are you?
Very well, Jim. We've got a big agenda before us today, so let's just jump right into it. And I just wanted to talk about what I consider to be the most exciting committee of the whole meeting I have been to since I started covering Coburg Council. Before the meeting, when I arrived at Victoria Hall last Monday night, there was a big group out protesting. These are people from the Preserve Our Heritage Harbor. They were there with picket signs and were doing a very forceful job showing their opposition to marina expansion. And then once I took my seat at the press table upstairs in Victoria Hall, a lot of these people filed in, and in fact the gallery was packed and people were standing out in the hallway.
And when was the last time you'd witnessed that?
I haven't received such a big crowd since I've been going to council.
Exactly.
And not only that, but there was three very excellent presentations made, all in opposition to marina expansion. The Coburg Dragon Boaters and Canoe Club put up a magnificent, very emotional presentation, including a number of the kids that are involved in the sport, and one fellow in a wheelchair basically had lumps in people's throats.
Well, they would have had, the group Survivor Thrivers.
Yeah.
They, too, have also been a part of that whole entire mess.
Well, they didn't make a presentation. There was the Dragon Boaters and the Canoeists made their presentation. The mayor almost cut off the young fellow in the wheelchair, and I think he looked very bad for doing so, but he allowed them extra time to go on. That presentation was followed up by a presentation by Deb Penko. She was there representing not only the she wasn't representing the Willow Beach Field Natural. She's a member of that, but she said she was speaking out as a taxpayer, and she made a very good presentation as well. And then we had Paul Pagnuolo come on board, and he presented one of the most cogent presentations I think this council has ever heard. And our guest today is Paul Pagnuolo.
Paul,
and
good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, I mean, the thing is we have quite an exciting episode of Week in Review, so I think if we can just jump right into that presentation, that might work.
Yeah, Paul, basically, could you, just for our listeners who didn't have the opportunity to file into the town hall or stand in the hall or couldn't get in, could you just sort of give us a summary of what you told council?
Well, what I wanted to do was get away from the emotional aspect and focus on what were the three reasons that Paul Gauthier and Bill Watson want to expand the marina into the West Harbor.
And Paul Gauthier, of course, is the marina manager.
He's the marina
and
manager.
Bill Watson is the director of public works.
Exactly. So I addressed each of those three reasons. One was, there's a shortage of recreational boating facilities in Coburg. That they needed a new revenue stream to support about $1 million in replacement costs of some of the docks in the next 15 years. And the third reason was they want to buy some boat handling equipment that was going to cost about $630,000.
So let's unpack each of those. And what did you tell council? First of all, with respect to the shortage of recreational boating facilities in Coburg.
Well, look, in life we can always argue that there's a shortage of a commodity or a service. We find shortages everywhere, and that doesn't mean that a supplier of a service has to keep expanding or offering more and increasing supply. In many cases, it simply isn't possible. And look, for example, a golf club. Many golf clubs have waiting lists because they just don't have the capacity and they can't expand the capacity. You take a look at small businesses downtown. They just can't keep growing their storefront. They're limited to a certain space, so they have to operate within that space. No differently in the case of the marina.
What would you say to those people that said, well, we can expand it into the West Harbor? I guess you were saying there's no need to, that there's a business case that can be made that they can make money exactly where they are.
Well, and that was the point. Nobody is focused on staying within the existing footprint and how do you make it work financially. If they had done that, we could have avoided this whole past 2 years of debate. They never would have come forward with a proposal to expand into the West Harbor. All they had to do was look at their own financial situation as it stands right now and how can you improve it. So the first thing I would say is look at the mix of transient and seasonal slips. They've got, right now, after all sort of the new slips that were added in the existing footprint, I think there were about 34 new slips. And then there was a realignment of transient versus seasonal slips. And transient are the overnighters. Seasonal are people who
dock
there and they're there for the season, the whole summer. Right now, we're looking at a ratio of about 33% of the total available slips are transient and 67% are seasonal. So there's 73 that are transient. My recommendation was reduce that number to under 5% of the total available. So right now, you could reduce the number of transient slips by 63, make them seasonal because, according to Mr. Gauthier, they have a current waiting list to get on the seasonal of some 207 requests.
How many transients do you think actually dock here for a season? Like, they're overnighters, obviously, but do you think that there's that many?
In terms of staying, the busy period is really, and based on counts that some of the group of Preserve Our Heritage Harbor have been doing, the peak appears to be the long weekend in July. So it builds up to that. It's full that weekend, but then it all sort of falls off. What you want to maximize your revenue is somebody there constantly, 24 hours, 7 days a week. So you want to maximize that. So if you increase the number of seasonal slips, number one, you're guaranteed income. And if you're innovative, when seasonal boat owners are not there, you should be able to rent their slips out to transient boaters.
Mm-hmm. However, I think they're running into a problem where if they did do that, if you were a transient guy coming in from, say, wherever, Bob Cajun, and I'm a seasonal slip holder for that slot, and I happen to show up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're sitting there, how would you expect
that?
Well,
normally, the arrangements in those sort of situations is you advise the marina manager if you're going to be away for a period of 2, 3, 4 days, mm-hmm. or maybe even longer. And you always have an arrangement in place that, yes, I can rent out your slip.
Okay, so you're subletting yeah. seasonal slips.
Yeah. But with the profit going back to the marina.
Of course.
So what I suggested was, look, reduce the number of transient slips down to, say, 10. And now that frees up a whole bunch of seasonal slips. And not only does that provide certainty of income, it grows the income because now you can rent those out when they're not in use. And the side benefit is really to the Coburg Yacht Club, because if you've got more seasonal boaters, this is going to increase their membership.
Now, the other thing that you were talking about was the revenue stream that required, because to expand into the West Harbor would require a pretty major loan.
Oh, absolutely. When I looked at over the last 6 years, and these were all actual numbers, so they're not numbers I'm pulling out of the air, and not numbers I've made up. I looked at the actual revenue and expenses for the marina for the last 6 years. Since 2009, if you combine both seasonal and transient rental fees, they've grown by just about $108,000, or 38% in the six-year period. When you look at employee cost, which is your biggest cost factor of running that marina, they increased by 52.4%. So if you look at employee costs as a percentage of your total revenues, what's happened is that ratio has increased from 61% to 67%. Well, if you don't control your cost in line with the growth in your revenue, you're going to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
You can't operate a business that way. So they've got to look at bringing those employee costs back down, say to even 61%. And nobody knows, the public certainly doesn't know, how many employees are there in the marina. Most of those we would assume are seasonal people. And we don't have data for 2014, but in the 3 years ending December 31st, 2013, what we do know is that the number of seasonal employees hired by Parks and Rec, and the marina is part of the Parks and Rec, they grew by 110% to a total of 42 seasonal employees. How many of those are employees attached to the marina? We don't know, but we think somebody needs to look at that and see why has that growth, and that's obviously contributed to the increase in an employee cost.
And as well, when we look at the whole argument for expansion into the West Harbor, one of the sort of little understood reasons is that they needed this lift to take boats out of the water in as the fall approaches and coming into winter. Apparently, a lift would cost $630,000. What did you have to say about that?
Well, what they've been doing so far and historically is renting a crane. The crane comes in twice a year, wants to lift the boats into the water, and the second time to take them out. It has required the volunteer efforts of the Cobra Yacht Club to assist with taking them in, providing the manpower. My understanding is that many of the people who volunteered their time like that are growing older and just, aren't capable of continuing to do that sort of heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. So my solution is, look, rather than spend $630,000, which you don't really need to do, and it's not cost justified when you factor in, you're only looking at the capital cost, what about the maintenance cost? Ongoing, because you have to maintain this thing.
Well, you got to house it, right?
Yeah, and repair work.
Do we actually know what it costs to rent these things?
In terms of the...
Well, if they're going to rent it for the summer, or they got to rent it for the summer to put the boats in the water, and they got to rent it...
In terms of the crane, the cost, if I look at their financial statement... the cost for contract, it says here contract lift out, $12,500. So it would take you a long time to recover $630,000. If the issue is the volunteers at the yacht club, what we really should be looking at is continue the crane rental, which is a more cost-effective way of going about it, and hire staff, whether... they're attached to the rental company or trained staff within the marina who are going to do all the hard work in terms of the guiding the crane and so on and so forth.
Well, let me suggest a situation. I have a boat in the harbor, let's pretend,
yeah.
And I need that lifted out to make sure that it doesn't freeze up in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be my responsibility to pay the cost of getting that out of the water?
Well, and the boaters do pay, so it's not a free service. But would you want to pay the associated cost if they went out and purchased a $630,000 piece of
that
equipment?
That would be up to the taxpayers as a whole, would it not?
Well, put it this way, a boat user wouldn't be able to afford the annual cost of lift in and lift out if they had this piece of equipment and it was to be repaid over, say, 10 or 15 years. And in terms of, well, we need to increase our critical mass, we need more boaters in here to make it worthwhile. That's simply unfair to the current users of the West Harbor. It's unacceptable. And if that were to have been the sole justification, it simply is not a reasonable response to the need of the equipment and kicking everybody else out of the West Harbor.
Now, when the matter was debated and fortunately, we were able to see what constituted a debate in council, which we rarely ever see. The proposal was first put forward that Teresa Rickerby was going to postpone all discussion about the harbor expansion until December 2016. The mayor made a statement. He says, I disagree with that. I think it should be earlier than that, to which Forrest Rowden replied, yes, well, let's make the amendment to December 2015. Did you have any feeling that things were going awry for the mayor and the town staff when that happened?
Well, it was a fascinating part of the evening. In fact, as you said earlier, it was probably one of the most fascinating council meetings I've ever attended. And at that point, nobody knew where this was going to go, this debate. We had different views back and forth, people saying they weren't going to vote for one or support one motion. It was exciting. And it was Brian Darling who came through with the winning solution, and that was, let's forget any extension. We all know in our own hearts that this is not a popular move by council. Let's just end the debate once and for all. And he proposed taking off the moratorium, if you want, and making it effective immediately.
Now, after the meeting, the vote was, after the question was called, the vote was everybody in favor of just kicking the thing out, except for one, and that was Larry Sherwood. Yeah. And he did not give a reason for his vote, but later on he told Northumberland 89.7 that the reason was that the Cobourg Yacht Club hadn't weighed in on the situation.
They had an opportunity, though. There could have been a representative at that meeting.
There could have been, but listen, how many times are we going to go around the table and debate the same issues? There were public meetings held with the user groups last year, and again in April of this year. Everybody's had a fair opportunity to present their case. So I think Larry's excuse was a weak one, because everybody's debated. And as I've said to council, look, you're squandering far too much political capital on an issue that's highly unpopular with the majority of your constituents. So, look, scale back. You don't need to waste political capital on this issue. There are more important things to move on with that are facing council rather than this endless debate. And to have taken it now into the Waterfront Advisory Committee and continue that same debate for another 18 months, what would that have accomplished? You'd hear the same arguments from the same people again, and nothing new was going to have been learned. I think, again, the key was coming back to how do you make this thing work within its existing footprint. I sincerely believe they can do it. It requires strong financial management.
And the other thing I think that was really crucial in that debate is when Teresa Rickerby herself said, well, I support the amendment. That is to kick away the moratorium.
Yeah.
And let's just end this thing right here and now. It would seem like the writing was on the wall at that point in time.
Well, again,
she would have a little bit more information on what's going on, being the counselor for Park and Rec.
I think every member of council was fully conversant on the issue. I mean, this has been a burning issue for the last 2 years. It was part of everybody's election campaign in terms of their platform. It was a key question put to every candidate in terms of where they stood on this. And everybody's been following this very closely. So, I don't think any one councillor had advantage over anybody else in terms of being up to date on the debate.
In your view, were there any winners or losers in this debate?
The winners were the community as a whole. The winners were really the people of Cobourg who want the enjoyment of the West Harbor, not just for those who are canoeists or dragon boaters, but they see the true value of that is not just for themselves and the way of living and the way of life, but also that attracts a lot of tourists from out of town. So why take something away that is good for everybody?
Yeah, no, definitely, for sure. Guys, we're running out of time, and of course this is a subject that we can probably continue with, I would hope, in a later date. But coming up, I want to thank Paul. I really wanted to get to this report card, but we've actually ran out of time. Maybe we can cover that. There's been a report card that's been issued as to how well the mayor, deputy mayor, and all the councillors are doing. And
it might be a discussion for next week.
I would think so. It's going to take more than a minute to go over it. So, but I want to thank Paul Pagnuolo for joining me. Paul, can you come back?
Absolutely. Love to.
Yeah, no, because I think this is something that we really need to talk about. And, of course, with the marina expansion and how it was trying to be dealt with. I mean, you are right. There are bigger fish to fry. We have that $1 million shortfall from the hydro where those monies can go to help as opposed to putting it on the back of the taxpayers who, in all fairness, have actually been paying their share. And we don't really have any control what happens to the monies after.
Well, that's an onion that needs to be peeled back, let me tell you.
Let's try not to cry when doing so. Again, I want to thank John. John, thank you very much for joining me here.
We'll see you next week.
You certainly will. Stay tuned. Mr. Brian Coggins is coming up next, and he's going to be joining us here on Weekend Review.